So as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, this is the last Sunday we have of ordinary time before this week we slide into Lent, and we'll be with that for quite some time, the Easter celebrations, so ordinary time not again until early summer. So on this final day that we can meditate on Mark's Gospel in the usual cycle, what does the Church offer to us this year but a little story about a leper in the Gospel, and the first reading piece of text to match it, to pair with it, as usual. So the fact that this is mentioned at all in the Gospels means that it was a thing in the ancient world, leprosy. And in fact, Matthew, Mark, and Luke mention the same story. All three Gospels have it. And Luke mentions an additional story about lepers, the 10 who were cleansed with only one coming back to give thanks, the Samaritan. So leprosy was a reality. It was a cultural difficulty. It was its own health situation. And the Bible speaks of it. So that means it was on the minds of the ancient world, and Jesus had to deal with it in particular ways. We know that right off the bat. So that's what's going to be on our hearts today, this story of this miraculous curing. So how about this? Maybe a little bit of expanded context on what this means in its own time period and how it parallels some things going on today. You're going to get this pretty quick, I think, as I go along. And a couple of lessons, perhaps, from us, from the Scriptures today for us in the current situation that we face in our world today. So to leprosy in general, in the ancient world. Probably Hansen's disease, as we know it today. Probably the same disease that we didn't have a cure for until the 1800s or so, late 1800s, with particular modern medicine. Some scholars would say that leprosy arrived in the Jewish territories about 300, 400, 500 years before Christ from India. It came into the area, and as soon as it came, it presented them with a real difficult challenge for different reasons. So one, okay, we know that it was a highly contagious disease. When you had it, you could give it to others very, very easily. When one had it, it was pretty unlikely you were going to recover from it. As time passed, it was going to take your life most of the time. So people were afraid of it just for the fact that it was deadly and it was contagious. And not only that, okay, they called this disease around Jesus' time period the living death. And the reason is because not only did you have to deal with its biological effects, you had to deal with its social effects too. Reason being, the ancient world, they were not ignorant people. We sometimes think that they didn't get science and medicine, but the fact is they did in their rudimentary way. They said, if this comes into our community, you have to get these people out of here. Don't let them near anybody else because it will harm all the rest of us. Leprosy represented a public health emergency, and they had public safety measures in place, and they involved isolation, separation, and quarantine. That's how you dealt with it. And it was so strict that one understood that as soon as you got this disease, your life in the community was effectively over. You had to leave and live either by yourself or with other lepers with the same disease. It was very, very lonely and painful. So you lived as though you were dead. That's how they talked about it. The Levitical codes from the first reading, the Old Testament, talk about this. Leviticus puts the force of religious law behind the public health declarations, and this means different things. So if one had it, Leviticus says you have to ruffle your hair, and you have to stay apart, and wear different clothing, and you got to shout, unclean, unclean, because you cannot be near anybody. You're too dangerous. And not only that, okay, unclean doesn't simply mean my skin is messed up. It actually refers to religious status. Unclean for Jews meant that you were ritually defiled, you were impure. The Jews said, this is so dangerous, we're going to put the force of commandment behind it and tell people, if you violate quarantine, if you talk to them, they talk to you, you will be officially religiously sanctioned for doing so. There's a religious penalty. So it's like the force of public law behind the declaration. Because back then, religion and politics and science and medicine were all the same thing. There was no categorization and compartmentalization like today, it's all one thing. So in that day, the authority were the priests, the clergy, they made the rules and decisions, and they say for public health safety, stay away. If you cross it, you and God are in a bad spot. You had to be ritually readmitted if you break it. So it was a purity law of the temple and of the covenant. So it's not unlike certain things today, right? They were in quarantine. And today would be very much like saying if one has a COVID situation, one must go to the modern day clergy, as in the CDC or the doctors, and you have to get a declaration. Either you're positive or negative, and depending on what you get, either you're isolated or you're not. Same idea. Okay, so ritual uncleanliness to them is kind of like our legal status of positive or negative right now in COVID. It's very, very similar. And the isolation of COVID patients today, very, very similar to back then. It's hard on people, and we've all experienced this already. Jesus steps into this, okay? This is what he inherits in his time because it's still around. It's in the territories. In fact, there are two gospel stories about it. It shows that it was a presence in Palestine. He does something very interesting, and so does the story of the leper in this gospel. First of all, the leper, in running up to him and talking to him at all, violates the public safety code of health and violates the covenant of Leviticus. He talks to somebody. He's not supposed to break quarantine, and he does. He does it in an interesting way. He runs up to Jesus, breaking quarantine rules, and says, "If you want to, you can make me clean." And a better translation is probably, "I know you have the power to make me clean." That means this guy recognizes in Jesus two important things. First, his ability to cure him medically, and secondly, his authority to make him religiously pure. He's going to bring him back into the community and restore him from being in isolation. Mark includes the story in part because of this person's expression of faith. He sees Jesus for who he is, that he has power, that he is God among them, and he has control over these things. So he affirms who Jesus is. He expresses real faith. What does Jesus do? He breaks the law too. He talks to somebody in quarantine. He makes himself religiously impure and unclean by having this conversation. And not only that, he touches the guy, which you could not do under pain of law, public health emergency, right? So Jesus breaks the law too. And he tells him once he is cured of his leprosy, okay, now that you're cured, go to the priests and they'll let you back into the community. Show them that you're all fine and they'll offer the sacrifice and you become ritually clean again. It's just like saying, okay, now that you're cured of COVID, go to the doctor, get a negative test, they'll let you go back to work. That'll be enough for them. It's the exact same parallel. The guy obeys none of this. He runs off and tells everybody all that happened because he's so happy. Because the other reason why Mark includes the story is because this is a little bit like a resurrection from the dead. Because like I told you, they thought of this as living death. The isolation was so strong and so painful and so hard, it broke their hearts that these people died pretty much of loneliness. But Jesus brings him back from the dead of isolation. And he's so full of joy, he runs out and tells everybody he's been restored. So a lesson from the story is not so much the rules, but the joy of resurrection from the living dead, the recognition of Christ who has power, and Christ's ability to reign over all things that are harmful for us as people, spiritually and biologically. That's some context, okay? Leprosy was real for them. Like COVID is real for us today, and the parallels are in many ways very, very similar. Some lessons from this. There's a couple. One would be something along these lines, all right? First of all, okay, Leviticus makes it clear, because those are old, old laws, we heard in the first reading, that for all of human history, we have been doing things like quarantines. It's not new. People have understood a long time ago, that to control diseases, you need to separate people from each other. So our current public safety measures, okay, whether we like them or not, depending on who you ask, are not without precedent in certain respects. They're about safety and about the best that our current abilities can muster. One makes decisions for common good. It all happens, right? So masks or distancing or lockdowns or whatever, it's all been done before in different ways. And Leviticus puts the force of faith behind it. They make it a religious point. They say, we're going to put the entire force of God's covenant behind this. We're so afraid of this disease, we're going to make it a commandment not to mess with this situation. So the current situation, long story short, not really new on one level. COVID, for all of its challenges and frustrations, for the pain of its isolation, and we've all dealt with it, who want to go to nursing homes, can't go, want to go to hospitals, can't go, want to see loved ones, can't go. I want to go to anoint people to tell me I can't. Happens to me every week. Okay? This is not necessarily new. Not necessarily new. A second piece, though, okay? And the gospel makes this very, very clear. From the earliest days of the Christian community, we've recognized that an essential ingredient, indeed the essential one, for dealing with things like this is faith. Faith is in the conversation. Faith is in the mix. Because when this guy in the Gospel of Mark runs up to Jesus, he recognizes that God has power over these situations. He has power over sickness, suffering, sin, and death, the laws of the time, the social forces of the day. The man says to him, "You have the power to act upon this situation." And indeed, Jesus does. So the community knows a couple things. Okay? One, in Mark's Gospel, Jesus says oftentimes, the kingdom of God is at hand. A better way to translate it is, the reigning or the ruling of God is at hand right now. I actively reign over you. And the leper understands that. And a person in this room, we're all the leper in the gospel as believers because we come here today saying, I know that Christ actively reigns in our world. The reigning of God, the active reigning of God is upon us right now. That means he has power in this situation. Sometimes it's miraculous. Sometimes it will be a medical cure, a biological wonder. Sometimes it happens. But we also have medicine for a reason, and doctors for a reason, and drugs and all those things that science gives us. Those are helpful, good things. But miracles do happen, yes. But beyond that, though, on a more basic level, miracles aside, because they're kind of rare, they're temporary anyhow, because we're all going to die. That's the point, okay? Miracles aside, God reigns over the fear and over the separation and the challenge and the terror and the conundrum. Faith is the foundation we rest on to get us through. We all run to Jesus in our pain, saying to him, I know you have power to help me. Deepen my faith, strengthen my trust, build my hope, heal my broken heart, connect me with my loved ones who I can't see anymore. We need faith to help us move forward. Physical cure or not, faith heals the heart and strengthens the heart, and it's essential. And this is in Mark's gospel because a believing community said, this story shows us that faith pushes us forward no matter what. So those two points, that we've always had quarantine issues, even religion involving them, and two, faith always pushes us forward, leads me to, I would say, a third point, a conclusion from that for our current scenario of COVID and other things that are hard. And this is what I would say is kind of new in the world, and I don't often say things are new, so this is kind of a bold thing for me to say. I would say this is the first time in human history when we face a challenge like we do with COVID and related, where we have intentionally not talked much about faith. It's been pushed in many ways, not always, but many, to the side. What's new is that for the first time ever, humanity and all of its official sources is trying to confront a problem without explicitly calling upon God to help. And for those of us who know, like the leper, that God reigns, that's painful and it's challenging. And we want to say to the people in authority these days, look, faith must be in the conversation. You can't fix it without God. Why not bring into dialogue the church, the gospel, and science, and medicine, and public health regulations, and the best of our technology, and let God be at the center of it, not on the edge of it? That's never how we've ever in the world tackled anything hard. Religion has always pulled us through. So it's sad to me as a pastor, I think us as believers, to hear so much of the current conversation not mention God much at all. Maybe it's behind the scenes, I don't know. I'm sure it's in people's quiet hearts in hospital corridors and halls of power, yes, but nothing public, nothing explicit, nothing deep. We know that God reigns. And we say to ourselves, if we would just call upon him, he will help us find a way forward that'll be better than it would be without him in the conversation, because he is God, and he reigns over all. So I think, okay, without making any commentary on public health laws as they currently stand, because that's not the point, any of us as believers should say to ourselves, we won't have our voice be silenced in this conversation. Like the leper, we know that Christ reigns. The reigning of God is upon us, even to today. And if we're going to tackle things that are hard of any sort, COVID or economics or politics, we must say we believe that God reigns and he's going to help us. We want him to. We want our voice to be in the conversation of society that needs to know that God loves us and he's here and he's powerful. And we say with the leper, I know you have the power to act in this situation for our good and the good of the entire world. That's going to keep us going. We know in our hearts, even if the public authorities might not say it, that faith will pull us through this. Nothing else possibly can. Faith binds together medicine and science and public health responsibly with perspective and with clarity and with proper understandings. Faith is the glue of all of it, and we are grateful for it. So we'll proclaim it, we'll live it, we'll teach it, we'll rest upon it, and know that God reigns. He reigns. He wants to move us forward, and we'll let him do so as the one who lives among us and who brings us back from the living dead to the fullness of his new life in the world to come.